This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Random Movie Generator for another deep dive. Welcome, David.
Welcome to you, sir. Welcome to me. Welcome to everyone involved. Welcome to everyone listening.
Everyone's involved.
Absolutely.
You and me.
Absolutely. Maverick and Goose, pilot navigator, cutting through the thin sky of cinema, basically.
Everything all right your end?
Totally fine. Absolutely. Tickety-boo. Getting ready for some podcast wrestling,
same
basically.
Old crap.
I know. Basically, getting ready for... I was going to say tongue wrestling then for a second, but that's got another connection to it, isn't it? So I always go Freudian for some reason, which is quite
How are you,
dark.
David? Yep. Completely ready for some podcast. Deflecting everything you're asking me.
I know. Yes, it is. Like, God... You know, if you want a parasocial relationship with listeners, you've got to be open and authentic. You can't be a podcast, ChatGPT kind of robot. You've got to, you know, be real. How do I feel? I'm feeling a bit of pep because I've just had my popcorn-flavoured coffee, believe it or not.
You what?
I've got some coffee sachets from Aldi, and each one has a really exciting flavour to it.
It's like a variety, what, like the Pops or whatever?
Yes,
what
it is. It
variety is, cereal pack.
Yeah, it's like variety cereal, like Coco Pops, the one with the tiger, Frosties, like that. So today I had popcorn, which is quite film-themed.
Popcorn coffee, wow.
Popcorn coffee, it's really quite nice. It's got a real popcorn kick to it. And what else? Another one was cookie dough. And they're not an anti-climax. They're very cheap, but not an anti-climax. One is Irish Baileys. I don't know how they got the brand for that, but they did. Their peppermint one is always a bit of a letdown, so I always have that at the beginning, get that done and dusted. And a double chocolate that's got a real aero smooch to it type of thing. So
basically, very, very sugary. This whole pack is very, very sugary.
If children got into coffee, that's what they would be having, basically, which is ideal for me.
Why don't you just have chucky bars instead?
I know, basically, just have a normal coffee with a lion bar, and it'd probably be exactly
I'd love it if you, instead of coffee in the morning, you just had a big old lion bar.
God, just sat there, sort of chewing away on the caramel type of thing. I tell you what, the older I get, the more I just can't survive the sugar rushes. It is like a romance, and then you're dumped afterwards. The sugar low is horrific. I reckon if I had a lion bar this morning, I would be quite lethargic 15 minutes afterwards and I'm quite grumpy. Do you know what I mean? It's a real Jekyll Hyde element.
If I gave you £1.50 and it's your last ever £1.50 to buy a chocolate bar, which one would you buy?
I think I would get... Oh, that's a very good question.
Thank you.
Does it have to be a chocolate bar? Can it be anything else sweet? It's got to definitely be a chocolate bar. I would think about Cadbury's Fruit and Nut, and I'd put it in the fridge, so it's really, really hard. There'd be a possibility there. What else, though? There's got to be other things. Oh, I know what I'd do. I'd get a whole basket of Cadbury's cream eggs. I like those.
Would you?
Oh, yeah, I like the idea of biting off the top and then using my tongue to sort of turn my tongue into a spoon and take the yolk out, or the sugary yolk. It's not real yolk, obviously. It doesn't cover a real hen. Yes, I do. I do enjoy that greatly.
Do you ever buy cream eggs for the cinema?
No, but now we've spoken about it, I'm quite tempted. The only thing is, it'd probably melt. I like my chocolate in the fridge, so you can really get into it. Unless it's a Snicker or a Mars bar, because then it just turns into a brick, and you can't really sort of do battle with it, really, or win every time type of thing. But what else is there that I'd really...
But you recommend these coffee... coffee corn, coffee dough.
Absolutely. They're absolutely just incredible.
What's it called? What's the actual Aldi's coffee?
Well, I could Aldi get them.
Coffee popcorn.
Yeah, try that.
Aldi coffee popcorn. New flavours?
Yes, it is new flavours, right.
Fine. Caramel popcorn?
Yes.
Is that it?
That's the one. And there's 20 different flavours. There's loads of different ones. There's double chocolate.
Caramel popcorn, cookie dough, cinder toffee.
Oh, cinder toffee is just incredible. And you really do taste it as well. It's got me out of many of a dark, depressive morning when I have like a Joan Collins coffee smooch with a nice little cookie dough.
Irish cream.
Oh, God. I'll tell you another one that's in Aldi that's absolutely amazing. They have brought out biscuit tea. It's a genius idea because people like having biscuits and tea. So why not just put the biscuits in the tea bag? And when I first heard it, I thought, well, this is just insane. But it's actually really nice. And there's one tea bag called...
I love that you find this on the shelves and you go for it.
Oh, God, yeah. I always wrestle. I think this is always something.
Can I see what your face is like when you're walking down the aisle and you notice a new product from Aldi that... like a sugary product, what do?
I have a real wrestle with it. It grabs my attention, stimulates me.
Oh,
I
put it back.
Oh,
do
yeah.
You?
I don't
what,
like
guilt?
Guilt, and also I don't like being a slave to marketing. But unfortunately, I am. Do you know what I mean? I'm very much a slave to it. But I try and wrestle with it, and then many a time I've annoyed. I was going to say a housewife, but it could be a businessman. Everyone goes to Aldi, whereby I'm in the middle of...
A housewife,
you know, queuing behind me because I'm at the checkout tills at Aldi. And, God, this is a film podcast. I've completely forgotten that I'm on a podcast. This might as well be a Zoom conversation. I've got a...
I thought we were...
Honestly, I don't mean in a critical manner, but I kind of was in a different reality. I just forgot I was doing a podcast.
Our Sweeties podcast.
Yeah,
it
clearly.
On and on. Honestly, I've got more passion for Sweeties than
I just forgot I was even doing a podcast. It's just like flipping it. You're in the middle of doing something. Yeah, basically, just a very short thing.
No, not a very short thing.
I've been in the middle of a massive queue. I've been using the autopilot checkout thing where you do it yourself. And I've left halfway through because I want to go and get that thing that I wasn't going to get because the marketing is so intense. Because I know I'll drive out and get really uptight about that. I'm terrible with marketing. But the Jaffa Cake tea bags Aldi's are fantastic.
Jaffa Cake tea bag Aldi.
Yes. And also there's...
I'm just looking at these. Yorkshire tea, biscuit. Tastes like tea and biscuit.
Yes, that's exactly... I didn't know it was Yorkshire tea that made them.
Oh, what about this? Yorkshire tea, toast and jam.
Wow. Have not seen that. I'll be buying that. Also, there's just normal biscuits. They're really nice. And caramel biscuits. But I haven't seen jam ones. Gene T. Anyway, let's refocus on what we're...
So, today's deep dive is a movie I watched in the early 90s. I remember it being a thrill ride. Made me feel very uncomfortable, I think. But I enjoyed the discomfort. And then I watched it. I think I watched it three times or at least another time just to get that sort of discomfort again. I really enjoyed it. The film's called Damage. Over to you, David.
I think one thing to say, it's like, if you're listening to this podcast and you're like me and you weren't aware of the film, you know, don't immediately turn off on it, because it is an interesting one, because I wasn't really aware of this movie. And when you first mentioned it, I was just like, what's Damage? Because obviously you're choosing the ones, the deep dives. And it was a case of, I was like, well, like you said, my face was like, oh, I've got homework now. Do you know what I mean? Because we just watched...
Did it feel like homework?
The first 15 minutes, yes. I was like, well, this is just a film that he liked. Oh, this is me being a bit toxic and negative. But I was a bit like, you know, God.
What did you just say?
I know, that was a bit off, isn't it? This is just a film he likes and he wants to talk about. I know, that's a bit off, isn't it? That's a bit too much. That's me being a bit, I've gone too authentic. But I don't mean that nastily.
Were you sitting there pissed off with me?
Oh, I wouldn't say I was personality assassinating you in my mind or anything, but I was a bit like...
This is just a film that he likes.
Oh, yeah,
I don't... Couldn't even say he.
I sort of turn into an angry farmer when I'm irritated, I don't know.
Oh, but, this is just a film that he likes. Fucking hell.
Yeah, I go into sort of almost urban kid talk in my head if things go a bit attack the block, if things aren't kind of going my
way. Thank you, everyone watching. Becky Miz, bit cheeky. David Pennell, or panel. David! Jeff Dale, too authentic. Edwards caught in the act, says Dogs and Greggles.
Yeah, it's true. I did try and stop myself halfway through. I did sort of police myself then.
Well, it is a film that he likes, that I like, but I thought you might keen like it.
Apologies. It's got to be said. All I can say is...
Just because you wanted to watch Octopussy.
I know. God, what a disaster. I mean, you know, any human brain is not just one voice. It's like
Are
inside
you like
out.
Kenneth Williams, when you die, we're going to go through your diaries and you're absolutely slagging me off.
Not
on your diary.
Not
on
you,
the Saturday
everyone.
Diary
everyone. Absolutely everyone. Definitely. I'm okay. Way too much of a smiling yes man. And then I go home to my sort of dark dwelling cave and sort of, you know, tut and shake my head.
Right. Okay, so back to you, the film that you didn't want to watch and you were resenting me for at least
15 minutes. Honest to God, I don't want that. It wasn't that bad. Do you know what I mean? To the extent that I wasn't in any way being negative to that degree. So please don't come away having a bad Edwards taste in your mouth, which once again sounds Freudian. And I don't mean that in a bad way sort of thing. But
just the film that he likes.
Oh, God, I've really done damage there, haven't I? I've burnt some big, big bridges.
David's True Colours coming out, says Matt. Shame, real shame.
God, it really is, isn't it? I'm sort of exposing myself here. First 15 minutes, Juliette Binoche, the love interest. Well, first of all,
What were you thinking the first 15 minutes? When you thought this is just a film that he likes, why were you feeling like that?
Well, should we also say what the plot and narrative of people who don't really know what it's about is? It's like an affair movie, isn't it? We did Fatal Attraction last week, and basically, married man has similar to Fatal Attraction, becomes hooked into this kind of sort of marital affair, basically,
with his son's girlfriend,
and they're very upper middle class, which is important. He's a doctor who's now a minister, a politician, and Miranda Richardson plays his wife, similar to Fatal Attraction, in the sense of the wife's very nice, no problems there in the home, lives in a very nice home. You know, it's not, there's nothing squalid about his existence, it's very upper middle class. His son's doing very well, he's just been given a promotion as an editor to a large newspaper in Britain, Broadsheet. But he's hooked by this femme fatale figure who should be having a relationship with the son type of thing. But sorry, to answer your question, and I wasn't aware of this film at all, and people listening to this might also be the case, but the first 15 minutes, Juliette Binoche was too icy. I was like, is she autistic? This is just going to be too much art cinema. This is just going to be too experimental. And he falls for her too quickly. You know, there's no questioning this is my son's girlfriend. And also, I found the sex scenes quite uncomfortable. I wouldn't say they start fighting and wrestling, but there was lots of one shots where you weren't cutting away.
Hang on. I'm loving this, Ep. Should we just review porn?
Oh, why not bend over or whatever it's called? Do you know what I mean? Go through the eras. Who's the Spielberg of pornography? I don't know. I'd be interested.
Right. That first 15 minutes, what made you go, this is just a film that he likes?
Oh, no, I wasn't like...
So
I wasn't
what was
like,
it about it,
I
though?
Didn't think, like, this is a grubby chap who just likes watching, you know, people having sex in hotel rooms. I didn't think that. I was thinking, this is potentially very pretentious.
When did it ever hook you in?
After the first 15 minutes, slowly, a bit like Jeremy Irons and Juliette Binoche, very hooked in by the end of it.
Oh,
fully signed up.
Were you?
Damaged fan, definitely.
Were you?
Oh, God, yes. 100% really got into it. I think the thing is, with this subgenre, and you mentioned affair movies, and I was just like, a few weeks back, once again, this isn't being negative towards your good self.
This is just a subgenre that he likes.
I thought it was like, this is a subgenre he just made up. Do you know what I mean? But it is very true. And it's just, similar to Fatal Attraction, it's just got a really good central concept, which is these men on face value have got everything you want. Really nice house, very civilized, pleasant wife, you know, kids that are doing well type of thing, although he's got a problem relationship with his son. But, you know, everything's... It's pretty much what your average Joe aspires to. But then these animalistic subconscious desires appear and they're willing to gamble everything for that. And there's a dark part of you that can relate to it. On paper, it looks nuts. But if you've been in your human brain long enough, you know that you will gamble things for these kind of short-term pleasures. And it's a very human tale that is very relatable. And the more he becomes obsessed with Juliette Binoche, it's kind of like, it's just very, very compelling. That he's got everything perfect. He's a minister in London, lovely mother, lovely mother, lovely wife. That's another Freudian slip up. But, you know, he's come across this lady and he's just, he's planning to give up everything for her. Do you know what I mean? And also the other thing, it's his son's... girlfriend later on, fiance, and the other thing is the pace is very strong. Every scene,
is it?
Yeah,
does it really hold up? This, because I was absolutely worried it might, if it's 30 years old, it might not hold up, but
no problems there whatsoever. It's got that domino effect where every scene moves the plot train forward and it adds to tension.
Move the plot train forward.
Choo choo.
Move the plot train forward.
Choo choo choo.
Move the plot train forward.
Yes, please, choo.
Move the plot train forward.
Tickets, please.
Choo choo yow.
Choo 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 yow.
Choo 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 yow. Dun dun dun.
Move the plot train forward. But it definitely does that, and incredibly tense moments. Jeremy Irons is also Jeremy Irons is quite fetching in this. You know, I can see why.
Oh, I looked up how old he was.
How old was he?
When I watched it, I was like 17, 18, thinking he's fucking 42.
Wow. Do you know, there was talk of him being James Bond. I don't think he auditioned for it, but he was on a list that the Broccoli's had, and you can see why. Do you know what I mean? He's quite fetching in it. It goes without saying. What other things? Yeah, I was very, very impressed by it. I'm trying to think of some other... I think the other thing that's really important is that as it develops more and more, it's not just an obvious affair movie. It's also a film about fathers and sons and how fathers and sons have these kind of deep-seated, quite negative, toxic feelings towards each other. There's an element of like male competition that's kind of always simmering in the background. The other thing
is... He's having an affair with his son's girlfriend or fiancé?
Girlfriend, then it becomes fiancé later on.
Oh, my God.
So that's what I mean by the plot constantly develops. And they have lots of family meetings and meals whereby we, the audience, know that he's having an affair, but no one else does.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Pump it into my nuts.
Absolutely. Two surgical needles into both testicles. Yeah,
give
definitely.
Me a dinner scene with shit going on in the background.
100%. And he announces he's going to marry her. And Jeremy Irons is like, what? You know, it doesn't say what like that, but it's like, what on earth? You know, Because the other thing is you start learning more about Juliette Binoche as it goes on, that she had this bizarre relationship with her brother who was very possessive of her, and that's why she doesn't want to be with one man, which is bizarre with the brother. That's got bizarre inclinations to it. But then she decides to finally marry someone, and it's his son. So you've got that. So that's a massive rug pull for Jeremy Irons. And then he tries to have a conversation with her that night quietly on a stairwell. And Jeremy Irons' daughter catches them. So every scene pushes it, pushes it. The other thing I only really...
Move the plot train forward.
Choo, choo, choo.
Move the plot train forward.
You've just got to do that. You've got to go to, like, you know,
yeah,
Act 1, Act 2, Central Station. But yeah, it was very, very, very impressive. The other thing is, I suddenly realised only this morning, I didn't realise it when I was doing my original notes, that David Hare, the well-known playwright, wrote the screenplay, and that makes a lot of sense, massively. For some reason, that didn't come up on my radar. Apparently, Netflix are turning it into a TV series.
Oh, well, someone put it on my Patreon, said... It's way better than the series, so maybe it's out.
Oh, maybe it's out. It's been made. Oh, that's interesting. Wikipedia needs to sort that out. Maybe I'll add to it.
Oh, well, I don't know if I got that right, but...
It's definitely Netflix did buy the rights, 100%.
I might have to watch it again.
Also, a big, big factor is the whole upper-middle class element. How there's that element of... there's a certain expectation with life. Yes, I've got the car, the job, but I don't feel alive. You know, I want that same oomph that I had as a childhood.
Boring.
You know? Yeah, there's no appreciating what you've got type of thing. Do you know one thing that interested me? The person who got nominated for the most awards out of the whole thing was Miranda Richardson, the wife.
Really?
And it's interesting because she has a massive meltdown at the end, but it only lasts 3 minutes. The rest of the film, she does a very good job, but I wouldn't say she's a central character. And right. They went nuts for a nomination. Why, she got an Oscar nomination for it.
Did she?
Yeah, I mean,
did
don't get really? Me wrong. It's a good... She does the job well, but a lot of it, she's in the dark. She doesn't know what's going on. She's just being the dutiful wife. She has a massive meltdown at the end, which is very good. But I didn't think that was enough screen time to get a nomination. She won a BAFTA, got nominated for an Oscar.
Right.
It made...
You were uncomfortable with the sex scenes.
Yes, they weren't Fatal Attraction sex scenes. Were just like, this is crazy. You know, it's like Michael Douglas on a sink and Glenn Close almost, acting like a trapped seagull, sort of just wriggling around type of thing. But with, I think the thing with Damage, it was very real. Do you know what I mean? It was almost like you were seeing real sex type of thing. And it's always just
real,
like...
Real sex.
Absolutely. Capital R of an apostrophe at the end.
And that's disgusting. Justin.
Absolutely. Do you know what I mean? I felt like I was some kind of...
Is there a lot of sex in this movie?
A lot of sex.
Is there?
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I do... It does... When I think of the film, I do think of sex.
Absolutely.
I don't know if that was like one scene.
That's
or...
what gets them into trouble, for crying out. There's one bit after a sex scene where he says to her, right, I'm going to have to leave my wife now type of thing. And she goes, what about your son? And... there's some really good scenes where she's very much sort of like, he wants to like run off with her. And she says, what about your wife? Oh, clearly I thought I loved her, but I didn't since I've seen you. What about your son who I'm seeing? He'll get over it. Like he got over his sports car being crashed. He's incredibly selfish all the way through. But she says that, you know, you don't want me as a wife. You want me as like, your sex slave type of thing. And it's almost as though that's act one. That's really clever with films, where they give you what you think should be act three and act one.
Yeah.
And then you're like, where do we go with this? But the sex scenes, a lot of it's done in one shot. And I imagine that being very uncomfortable for the actors, but they get involved.
I was thinking that when I was reading about Jeremy Irons. It's like, he decided to take that part and thought, yeah, I'll take my clothes off and pretend to screw someone.
It's not like Fatal Attraction where you, that's very fragmented, you just cut to them. And it's just, it's Hollywood sex, isn't it? It's lit like a Diet Coke ad, Fatal Attraction, because, I mean, Adrian Lyne did loads of commercials in the 80s, and it's then just, you know, going nuts like two elephants in a blue planet kind of like episode, do you know what I mean? But this is just very...
Do elephants have sex?
Yes, I've seen them on... with a David Attenborough voiceover.
Do elephants have sex? I've never thought about.
Well, they've got a very big, strong. The female's got an extra strong backbone to take on the weight of the actual elephant.
You saying that sentence.
That's
the female's got an extra strong backbone.
That's evolution.
Say it one more time.
The female has an extra strong backbone. Imagine Dave Asprey saying that in that silk, almost Roger Moore voice. The spine of the female is extra strong. She's got to try every now and then.
Hang on, I just want to read about elephants. Elephants copulate many times over a few days. The bull stays with the cow for several days after breeding, and mainly to ensure that no other bulls mate with her. If the cow becomes pregnant, she'll give birth approximately 2 years later.
2 years?
Yeah.
I don't know what you call elephant trotters. I don't know what they are.
That just looks like that's an elephant having sex from behind. That's just two elephants.
I mean, that's,
I thought they'd be doing. I thought they'd have a different sort of. That's
oh,
just,
there's no. There's no.
That's just two elephants.
There's no
that's
pre-chat.
What you would imagine.
Yeah, definitely. Just like a circus act, isn't it?
Move the blood train forward.
Dear God, this is going to need a lot of editing, isn't it? It really is.
It's going to have no editing.
Oh, my Lord, goodness me.
So, I'm trying to think, what is there anything else you want to say about the movie?
Definitely.
Sorry, what point?
31 million it made.
31 million?
Yeah, which is okay. I think it just
that
about made a profit. Yeah, so I think it would have been
is
about.
Is it a British movie?
It's got.
French?
It was co-financed with Europe and Britain. Yeah, it's a French director, and
yeah, who's known for this kind of. Is he
well,
done
he did Dinner with Andre, which is an interesting film. Which is a film whereby it's just two guys, old friends, having a chat over a dinner table in a restaurant, and it's a very philosophical movie. If you enjoy philosophical chit chat interaction, like for instance, you enjoy philosophical podcasts. Dinner with Andre, I may have got the title wrong, so let's check that, is in actual fact very enjoyable. You know, it's very niche, but once again, very, very good. If you're that type of person who likes that, like Richard Linklater films that have got that philosophical kind of like, you know, waking life, stuff like that, it's definitely, for the right audience, certainly one to check out. But yeah, the director is a French chap called Louis Mellaire. Co-financing there. I would imagine, I couldn't find the actual budget, but I'm imagining it was maybe like 4 or 5 million, nothing massive. And so they would have made a profit from it, which would have been quite amazing.
What was the point in the movie that sort of hooked you in? What was that moment?
I reckon it was when he just can't focus at work anymore, and he starts doing doodles during like a press conference. And you look at the doodles, and he's clearly not in the room at all. And he was very professional before meeting this woman. And the doodles are like a what's that word where you look at ink blots and you see different things within the ink blots type of thing, a Shaganov test or whatever it's called. What's it called? And it's
Shaganov. I've not heard Shaganov test.
It's not Shaganov test. I mean, that's completely insane, me calling that. But it's when a therapist.
Shaganov test.
It's not a Shaganov test at all. Therapist ink blots. Rorschach test. The Rorschach test. And he's doing doodles, and but then the camera moves very cleverly, and the doodles become these kind of like, vagina elements. And he's
vagina.
Yeah, vagina. I know that word. Absolutely rolls off the tongue. And it's very much a case of, it's a case of, it's bleeding out of his subconscious, all this sexual desire.
And that's when it hooked you in.
Yeah, it had an interesting character study element to it. And also you could see that he was potentially ruining his life massively.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's everything that he's about to lose.
Oh, it's always...
everything that he's going to throw away.
Hanging in the background. And also you get to know more about Juliette Binoche's background and why she's got this steely element about her, which is interesting. Oh, God, the other thing that's very clever was... The son is promoted from a journalist to an editor, and he says to his dad, jokingly, I will be looking after politics, I might have to write about you. And they sort of laugh about it. And you think, God, if he finds out, my dad's having an affair with my girlfriend, he could ruin him in the newspaper. So, I mean, that's another hanging. It's not actually explored in great detail in the plot, but it's definitely hanging in the background. I think the thing is, it just gains momentum. Every scene builds the plot train forwards. Move the plot train forwards.
I'm really pleased. I mean, I don't know if you're doing this, David, just to keep me happy.
No, God, no. I would say, also, the end of the film, it feels like a Twilight Zone episode. It gets almost quite surreal.
So I won't say anything. Is it set in Paris, the end of the film, from my memory?
No. Oh, yeah. He goes off to a European town. Yeah. I mean, how much of a spoiler do we want for the ending?
Well, people saying there should be spoilers, but some people haven't seen it, so I think you should be mindful of people that haven't.
The ending is completely bonkers. I mean, it's just like, I think anyone would be into it. I think it starts off like a piece of art cinema.
I can't remember the ending then.
Oh, my Lord.
Hang on a minute. I can't remember the ending.
I was about to call you mate then. I always go off the rails a bit. Do you know what I mean? But I stopped myself from saying that, going to like...
become an artist or something. I thought you'd become an artist.
Well, shall we say that if you don't want the spoiler, stop listening for a second?
Yes. Okay. If you don't want the spoiler, I don't want to ruin it for people, and they might be...
What are they saying on YouTube?
Well, I think a lot of people say, I'll just say it, but I just think about the people that... Okay, turn off now.
Basically it's a case whereby Jeremy Irons goes to his son and he goes...
Oh, it says there, that ending, best keep it under wraps.
Yeah, well, the ending is completely nuts. Yeah, I think anyone would be taken by the ending.
I've got to watch it again.
Well, the thing is, if you... do you know one thing that went through my head? It's just like, it'd be amazing if there was a technology out there, and unknowingly you've done it just then, whereby you could erase your memory of your favourite films, and you could just watch them again. Because I saw Jurassic Park last night on the big screen for the 30th anniversary, and I was just sat there thinking, you just can't watch this the first time again. Do you know what I mean?
I think I could, because I don't know Jurassic Park at all. I've watched it, but I have no memory. I don't know anything about it.
Oh, definitely do it then, because you'll love watching a game, because it's so much more superior than the other films.
So my boys need to be a bit older for it.
They do, because some of the dinosaur scenes, I was jumping and I'd seen it several times. There's a spitter dinosaur in there that spits toxic waste into people's faces. And that really is intense. It's like a sort of friendly gremlin creature. And then suddenly, I was thinking, how did I watch this as a kid? Suddenly this extra kind of... these extra colourful flaps appear behind its neck. It starts screeching and spitting toxic waste into people's eyes, and then it begins to eat.
Jeremy Irons does.
He doesn't. No, sorry, I've gone on to Jurassic Park, completely different film, which isn't about affairs.
Imagine if he did.
God, that'd be a hell of a twist. But I mean, I tell you, the end of the film, it feels like a Twilight Zone episode. It really does.
I've got to watch it again.
It felt like a Greek tragedy, the end of the film. You could tell that a man who's primarily a playwright, David Hare, wrote it. It's got a real sort of National Theatre London vibe to it. It's definitely got a Greek tragedy aspect. These are fair films, like Fatal Attraction and Damage, and an Indecent Proposal, another one of that style. They've got that Greek Wonderful. Tragedy element whereby, it's all about self-sabotage, isn't it? You know what I mean? You've got everything... but you never kind of. And also, a lot of these films are people in a sort of upper middle class, quite well-to-do situation, isn't it? And I think that's why The Crown did really well on Netflix, in the sense that we love to look at these people that seem to have everything, but they don't. There's something. Yeah, there's a nice car.
The grass is always greener.
Yes, David. Absolutely. So it's
a famous phrase.
It apps, and it's just not. You know, I mean, you finally find yourself in that garden, and then you look around and you think, oh, God, where's the lawnmower? I'm going to have to cut that bloody grass now.
Well, it might be greener, but to your left-hand side, there'll be a molehill.
Oh, totally, and it'll just be in your periphery vision. And then there's an even greener lawn on the other side of that fence.
Yeah,
it's not even green. It's just sort of like, what's higher than green? I don't know. But it's a different colour. A luminous green. Blue. Yeah, blue grass. Completely different colour. Outside the box. Oh, it's AstroTurf. You don't even have to cut it. It'd be AstroTurf, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Well, David, if we've come to the point in this episode where I love to ask the people watching live on YouTube, if you can guess how many choc ices out of five David's going to give this. So it's over to you. So we'll just fill this space, David, while all the patrons put...
Yeah, absolutely. Any other facts? The film kind of went under the radar. So, it was very much a festival movie when it came out. It did okay at the box office.
I don't know how I saw it. I think I just went through a period of really enjoying sex films.
What other ones have you seen then that you thought were quite... they've got that fair Greek tragedy element to them, because they are...
Oh, well, I honestly, if anyone knows of any others like this, give them to me now.
Absolutely. Maybe that's what our podcast should be, just films about affairs. Could you imagine that?
Okay, everyone's putting their...
So it's got to be Greek tragedy affair films.
Dr. Greg says, this smells like an Earl appeasing. And then he gives his... Please, if you didn't really enjoy it, David, this is the whole point.
For goodness sake, honest to God, if you watch the film...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think this is the thing with it. This is the very clever element of the film. It's got art cinema sensibilities in the style of the sex scenes, the style of the performances, the style of the dialogue. But baked within it is like a Hollywood structure. The Banshees of Irishman, yeah.
Of where?
Irishman? Oh, I can't remember.
Don't worry.
What's it called? Yeah. Can you just tell us so people know what it's called?
Sheeran?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good example where it's got an art cinema feel to it, very character focused, you know, period drama, but baked into it, it's got ticking time bombs. You know, it's a very skillful merge between multiplex blockbuster tropes that are hidden with an art cinema feel. And I'm happy to say the first 15 minutes, I was like, this is, I ain't impressed. Someone's wasting my time. And I took a bullet for that, didn't I? So I'm certainly not appeasing anyone. And, you know, the ending is bonkers. It's really intense. And it feels like a Twilight Zone episode at the end.
All right, David. Well, now's your chance to tell us how many choc ices out of five you're going to give Damage, Jeremy Irons and Juliette Binoche movie Damage. It's over to you. How many choc ices out of five are you going to give Damage?
I will give that five Damage, definitely. Absolutely, yeah. And I'm not appeasing anyone at all. The biggest thing for me...
Yes! Is, I mean, did half the reason you're giving it five because it moved the plot train forward?
That is definitely part of it. But also in this era of YouTube and Netflix, where I rarely watch anything to the end, and as you always say to me, how many sittings? I watched it in one go, and these days that is just.
I remember it being an absolute fucking thrill ride.
Well, if you don't remember the ending...
No, I don't,
think,
weirdly.
I'm quite jealous of that. And it means you can watch it again, like your memory's been erased.
Wow. Dr. Greggle says appeased and beyond. I don't like how people aren't trusting you, David. I think people...
I'm sure
you dishonest.
I'm sure we've been
I think you'd definitely go, not for me. Well, you'd say not for me.
If I was going to appease it, because I am a yes man and a man pleaser and a woman pleaser and an animal pleaser. That's not Freudian, once again. But it's a case of...
It's just a man pleasing.
It's just a man pleasing the human race. But it's a case of... I know what my strategy would be, which would be that I would be... I would go for like a 3.5 type of thing because there was great moments.
3.5s in this.
Yeah, no, not at all. I'd be like, oh, there's some great moments. I like this and that. Although I wasn't too into that, but that was good.
DDD PPP said, hated the first 15 minutes, 5.
Hated the 15 minutes, 5. Yeah, that's simple as that. Do you know what I mean?
But that's fine, isn't it?
Oh, gotcha, because the film's 2 hours long. So you've got an hour and 45 minutes of kind of like, you know.
Yeah. You went in there with preconceptions, with assumptions.
Like I do everything with chocolate bars.
Yeah, exactly. And you wanted to throw your toys out of the pram. Oh, I don't want to watch this. This is something he would like. And then suddenly the doodles came out.
Absolutely.
The vagina doodles came out.
And there you go. There's the movie poster. There's the marketing. That's everything.
Yeah. I'm really glad you liked it. I mean, I would have been surprised if I'd remembered it. So
I've been introduced to an interesting subgenre because, I mean, I really enjoy Fatal Attraction as well. Do you know what I mean? I never remember having negative reactions to it when I first saw it. But, yeah, it's just so... I think it's a good one for middle-aged men, isn't it? You know, you've been around for 4 decades. You're a bit cut. You've been in your brain for a while. And you know how your brain can trip you up. You know, our lives aren't that exciting. It's more of a case...
And women.
And animals.
Women do it as well.
All social groups trip themselves up.
Women do it loads.
Absolutely. And just the same as men do, you know, no extra.
It takes two to tango.
It takes two to tango, absolutely. You know, we're not Michael Jackson just doing a moonwalk on our own. We've got to, you know, I don't know where I'm going with that, but, you know, it's all about ballroom dancing in life. But it's a case of, that element whereby you just sabotage everything.
I've got a question for you, David, from Andy Drew. If the first 15 minutes is a 1 out of 5, how can the whole be a 5?
A 1 out of 5, the whole...
It's a great little maths puzzle.
Oh, no, it's very, very good. It's a case of... I think when you look at the duration, it's a good 2 hours. The 15 minutes was a case of... mathematically... Yeah, you'd make it a 4 type of thing if you're like, if you cut it into 5 pieces.
Yeah, but once you've seen it as a whole.
Yes, the ending is a lot better.
Then you make your decision.
Absolutely. And 15 minutes isn't that long. Do you know what I mean? You've got to remember you've got your opening credits. That's a minute. So it's probably 14 minutes there. You've got establishing shots of their home, things in that vein. So it's probably only 10 minutes of character interaction.
Yeah, Mike rolls. The rest of the film's a 6. That's how you do it.
Absolutely. Well done. You've got some mathematicians in the house. Thank God you saved me there.
Yeah. Oh, I might watch that. I might watch it.
You said you're going to watch Fatal Attraction again. Did you get around to that? Or
I don't watch anything, David.
God, I know what you mean. Well, I don't know what you mean. I went to see Jurassic Park last night, for crying out loud. That means I've watched everything. Did anyone say anything on the YouTube feed about affair films?
Oh, yeah. If anyone knows of any affair films, good uns as well, proper good uns, please put it down in the comment box. But also, if anyone has seen Damage, what were your thoughts?
And, you know, definitely check it out. I think, you know, I started watching Indecent Proposal again, getting quite into this subgenre. And Indecent Proposal is problematic because... everyone knows what everyone's doing. It's like Woody Harrelson knows an affair's taking place and it's about him getting jealous.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's wonderful.
It's not that.
Oh, I remember it being wonderful, but maybe not.
Did you really enjoy it? Because I started watching it.
I just remember it being a bit spiky.
Yeah, I have to carry on watching it then. Because I think it's Adrian Lynn again, the guy who did Fatal Attraction.
It just brings up that question, doesn't it? Who would you like to spend the night with? Oh, no one. No, who would you like to spend the night with? No one. Oh, really? Why are you saying it like that?
Yeah, I suppose also it's something you could pitch very successfully in a marketing room in Hollywood, couldn't you? If someone was going to give you £1 million, would you let them sleep with your wife?
John Bone, saw Damage about 10 years ago. For me, it was meh at best.
That's shocking. It's
shocking for me. Basically, John Bone has loads of affairs. That says loads about John Bone. Felt uncomfortable all the way through damage, but couldn't look away.
Do you know what? It's not as... I think the way...
John Bone has affairs.
Simple as that. And I think his name's got affair baked into it, really, isn't it? It's got to be said. But I mean, I don't want to in any way be negative to any of the Patreons, because it's incredibly...
Hasn't got to be said. Dr. Gregor, saw damage a long time ago. Don't recall finding it better than decent, indecent, but I'm far more mature these days. Hashtag Willies. I was mature at 18.
I would, I think your average person would be into it. I think.
Go on.
No, you go on, please.
Oh, Alistair Satchel, who I trust, Alistair. Very solid
man.
Poll. Of the community, holds up the Patreon tent. Does that make sense? Breath is an affair movie, but I hated it. Guy Pearce falls for the au pair. Grotty old
man. Right. Yes, grotty old man. Yes. Who was it? It's Jessica something, isn't it? It's a well-known actress who was in... Cemetery Junction. I think it's... I could be wrong about that. No, but you're in Cemetery Junction. You may have met the woman who has the affair with Guy Pearce.
Right, yeah.
I could be wrong about that. Who is in Breath? It's supposed to be...
Has anyone got any? So I hope I haven't missed any. Affair movies are superb. Basic Instinct, yeah. I want to go. Let's go French. Let's go down the French. Felicity Jones. Oh, David.
I haven't seen that.
Felicity Jones. No, that's the actor, Felicity Jones, or actress. What are you supposed to say now, then? Actor, actress, Felicity Jones. Oh, yeah, I'd like an erotic psychological drama, please.
Erotic psychological drama. That's exactly one. Is 9.5 weeks any good with Kim Basinger?
I don't know. Might be. I remember being put off by Jeremy Irons' sinewy body.
Yeah, it's not... he's very good looking when he's got his clothes on and it's just his face. But then when he starts taking off his kind of 80s business suit, it's quite a pale... They're very real. I keep saying they're very real sex scenes, basically.
Unfaithful with Richard Gere.
Oh, I've seen the DVD cover of that. I do recognise that as a film, but I've not watched it, so that's worth checking out.
Shame. I've seen Shame. Is that Fassbender?
Oh, God, he becomes a sex addict, doesn't he? That's interesting. That's with Kerry Mulligan, isn't it?
Well, I'm really glad you liked the film, David.
Yeah, really, really enjoyed it. There's some really good lines in there, isn't there? Particularly when he goes to visit his son. And I think he's trying to bring the affair to an end. And he says, I always thought life was about controlling things, but you've just got to allow life to work around you and fit in and appreciate what you've got, type of thing. And David Hare is a very skilled playwright. I can see that he was part of the actual... I can see him in the script now. There's some really strong kind of observations in there, massively. And as I say, you know, the end of the film, I don't think anyone could walk away from that film not feeling as though they didn't get their £10 worth, or whatever you'd say it cost. In the sense of there's some massive twists. It's got a real Greek tragedy vibe to it, massively.
Thank you, David. I hope you have a lovely weekend. Thank you, everyone, for turning up live and watching it on YouTube. We'll be back to normal, pretty sure, in the next week or two. But until then, it's a serial salute, David.
It certainly is. Serial salute. At the ready, is there questions from the Patreons or not?
Oh, let's do some questions of the Patreons. Sorry,
only,
you're right.
Only if you know.
I'm so sorry, everybody. Jesus. Yeah, you're right.
I guess it kind of evolved into that naturally in a way, didn't it? We having Patreon chat, so we've kind of started.
Okay.
It.
Questions from patrons. Can we look at 90s cult comedy? Jumpman.